Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz, coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, as we reach, I guess what you'd say is maybe the midway point of the Packers bye week, let's take a look at, you know, maybe the bigger picture, so to speak, and the NFC North in particular, where the Packers are trying to reclaim that division title that was taken by the Minnesota Vikings last season. You have to give the Vikings credit. Last weekend, they went down to Carolina on the road at the house of the defending NFC champions and went in there and dominated. I mean, fell behind 10-0 after the first quarter, but after that, it was all Minnesota in a 22-10 win, and the Vikings are at 3-0 and have raised a lot of hopes in Minneapolis after dealing with all sorts of injury news for the last several weeks.
Yeah, no question, Mike. I mean, first off, isn't this bye week just flying by? It's crazy how this that's life in the NFL, though. It goes by quickly. It just seems like we were here yesterday. So, I mean, whatever the case may be, you look right now at Carolina, the way that they're structured, the way that that defense is structured, we saw it last year. They play incredibly well at home, and they're difficult to beat. I was actually doing our halftime report here at Lambeau Field on Sunday, and I already had my whole thing queued up. I was going to say, yeah, the Carolina Panthers way out front right now, 10-0 over the Minnesota Vikings.
Right.
And as I get ready to step out in front of 80,000 people to speak, it's already 10-8. Next thing you know, they got all these points unanswered, and they're in the driver's seat.
Yep.
That's what this defense can do. They proved it against Tennessee. They showed it again against Green Bay.
Absolutely.
So I don't think this should be a surprise by any means right now. And certainly when you look at the Panthers, some things that they have to figure out offensively to get back to the Super Bowl right now, because they are fighting through some issues of their own. Again, it's a reminder, there isn't just going to be one dominant team in the NFL. There's too much parity, and the margin of error is so small.
Yeah, absolutely. The Carolina Panthers, I believe they had won 14 consecutive home games. The last year, as the number one seed in the NFC, they flat out dominated both of the playoff victories over Seattle and Arizona to get to the Super Bowl. And when you look at this Vikings team, they're doing it with defense, as we know, but also their special teams having an impact. The Sam Bradford-led offense, it did enough, but only scored a touchdown and two field goals, I believe, against Carolina. The defense had a safety, and special teams returned a punt for a touchdown before the offense finally got going and got some things generated. So the Vikings getting things done in all three phases, and that's really what's going to make them a tough team to beat.
Yeah, and if Blair Walsh makes that extra point, it would have been the second game this year where Vikings outscored their opponent not even needing their offense. I mean, instead it ended up being 10-10. If Walsh makes that field goal, again, there it just shows you how capable this group is right now, what they can do. And realistically, I think the impressive thing is, as this team tries to maneuver throughout the course of the season without Teddy Bridgewater, without Adrian Peterson, seeing how it develops. And I know obviously you want to win that game at US Bank Stadium. The Packers scored the first touchdown there. You want to maintain the lead. You want to go into the bye 3-0. But let's not act like the Minnesota Vikings aren't a good football team.
Yeah.
They're a really good football team, and that's what the NFC is finding out right now.
Yeah, they are really good, and I think they've established themselves as the team to beat, certainly in the NFC North and perhaps in the whole NFC if you were to pick a team right now after 3 weeks. Looking at the other side of the NFC North, the two teams that are looking up at the Packers and the Vikings, the Lions and the Bears. The Lions are 1-2, the Bears 0-3 after the Sunday night football loss down in Dallas. Bears really having all kinds of trouble. They've got the injury at quarterback with Cutler. They're now going with Brian Hoyer. Other injuries that they've dealt with along the way. The Lions obviously were banged up when they came in to Lambeau Field. Those two teams, Bears and Lions, playing each other in Chicago on Sunday. Both teams really need a win. The Bears desperately need a win, and the Lions are looking to get a win just to try to keep pace with the Packers and Vikings.
Yeah,
at this point.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at Detroit's last 10 or 12 games, whatever it is, they feel like they're up there with every team in the NFC right now in terms of where they're at, how they're structured, and what they're competing for. The Chicago Bears are in a little bit different situation with the questions about Jay Cutler. Obviously, they have some issues with their defense right now, offensive line outside of Josh Sitton and Kyle Long with some significant issues and question marks there as well.
Yep.
And that's going to be the biggest thing. Jeremy Langford now dealing with an injury. So what exactly are the Chicago Bears? I think in some ways they may be overachieved a little bit in John Fox's first season. I think this year's probably been a little bit of a return to the reality that there is a rebuilding process there that they have to go through. Obviously a good foundation. We've said on the show before my feelings towards Vic Fangio and his defense, but at the end of the day, you also need to make those players fit, and I think a win would go a long way in trying to establish what they're trying to do right now.
Yeah, I think the biggest disappointment for Chicago is that the defense isn't playing better than it is, but I think that is a defense with the new pieces they got, with some of the young players that they brought in, with Vic Fangio coordinating and John Fox as the head man. I think that's a defense that's going to play better as the season goes along, and we'll get a look at them soon enough at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, and they have the blueprint there. I mean, they showed last year. I thought Vic Fangio really worked some miracles with that defense last year with how they performed in contrast to probably what their talent level was. They just got to work through these early cycles, and it certainly – you have to get off to the right step. That's the only way you're going to be able to make the playoffs in terms of how you perform in September. But at the same time, I mean, there's also the reality there that they still have a lot of young pieces that are trying to pick this defense up.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, we'll throw it to a break, and we'll talk a little bit more about the NFC big picture. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, continuing our discussion of the NFC, we look at the NFC in general. Through 3 weeks, only two teams undefeated at 3-0, the Minnesota Vikings, as we talked about, and then the Philadelphia Eagles, also 3-0 with new quarterback Carson Wentz. And I think this really sets up for an interesting race for both of these divisions, because the way the schedule formula worked out this year, the NFC North is matched up with the NFC East. So the Packers, Vikings, Bears, and Lions are all going to be playing the Eagles, Giants, Redskins, and Cowboys. And both of these divisions are going to have a huge impact on how the other division shakes out at the end of the day.
No question, Mike. And this is the reason why when the Green Bay Packers got their schedule for this year, and everybody immediately, because there's nothing else to write about in April, goes, well, it's the easiest schedule in the NFL.
Yeah.
You can't plan for that.
No.
You just can't. And I think you're seeing that right now with the way that Philadelphia is playing right now under Doug Peterson. I mean, that's a well-oiled machine there. Now, you can make an argument if they've been tested yet, but I think you look at Carson Wentz, people would be criticizing him against the opponents they played if he didn't play well. So if he has, you have to tip your cap for that. And certainly, as you mentioned, those two divisions are going to weigh heavily into how the wild card picture ends up coming into focus at the end of the season. And I will be honest with you, I could see those two right now, the way that things are shuffling out, potentially be in the divisions that maybe send one or two teams extra to the playoffs.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think people were holding back their praise, and rightly so, of Wentz through the first 2 weeks because of the opponents that the Eagles had faced. But in week three, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the cross-state rival, came to town. A Pittsburgh Steelers team that many people think is the biggest challenger to the New England Patriots for supremacy in the AFC this year, and they just blew them out of the stadium. I mean, it wasn't even a contest. Now, that can happen at any time in the NFL. We know that sometimes games just, you know, go sideways on teams, and that's how things go. But give Carson Wentz and the Eagles credit. That was a big early test for them against a major contender, a young quarterback against a Pro Bowler and a Super Bowl champion, and the Eagles passed with flying colors.
No question, Mike. And that's one of the things, too. What was the stat? It had been, was it 40 years since
since the Steelers had lost a game by 30 points.
No question. And then just you think about how many times, I mean, Mike Tomlin, I mean, that team's ready to play. And even if they don't come out on top, and I know they had some 8-8 years in that, they were a team that each year is competing for the playoffs, much like the Green Bay Packers have been over the last 7 years. So for Philadelphia to do that, I thought that was a landmark victory. And it obviously speaks well to not only how Wentz is performing, but really the mindset that Peterson has sort of whipped and shaped with this, you know, Philadelphia Eagles roster. So I think it's going to be an interesting scenario to see how that division plays out, because I remember at the beginning of the year when you look at everybody making their predictions about who the champions are going to be in these divisions, the NFC East was definitely the most wide open in terms of who was picking who, and theoretically all four of them have a chance, even now Dallas with you know, Prescott leading them.
Yeah, for sure. Dallas with a rookie quarterback just like the Eagles and Dak Prescott. And you look at the matchups so far in the NFC East. You had the Giants beat the Cowboys by 1 point, I believe it was. You had the Cowboys beat the Redskins, I think, by 4 points. You had the Redskins this past weekend beat the Giants by a couple of points in a real back-and-forth game. You look at the NFC North. The Packers end up beating the Lions by 7. The Vikings beat the Packers by 3. So a lot of close games, and as these teams get together, we're going to see the first of the NFC North versus NFC East matchups this coming Monday night, as the Giants, with Ben McAdoo, the former assistant coach here in Green Bay, now leading the Giants, he'll take them into U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis for a pretty big, you know, exciting early season Monday night game in Minneapolis.
Absolutely. I mean, and the Giants are kind of, they've been a fun team to watch in that, I think. Their margin of victory and loss is, what, like 9 points or something like that? I mean, just how close these games have been for them. And, you know, the thing is, you look at where they were at offensively, I think even with, you know, with Odell Beckham Jr., and then, you know, Eli's been there for a number of years.
Victor Cruz is back.
Victor Cruz, some significant questions now with injuries in their backfield, but they have an offense that can compete. It's just the question of whether or not defensively they made enough improvements to be able to be a more consistent team, because that was the thing. They were getting into too many shootouts many times last season. So, but for them to be up on top of the division right now and competing with the Eagles for, you know, top of the East, I don't think that's a surprise. And certainly that was a tough loss against Washington, but there's still a lot of optimism there under Ben McAdoo that they're finally going to be able to get back to the playoffs after this 4 or 5 years, whatever it's been, of not being able to make that jump.
Yeah, when you look at the flip side of the NFC, there are only two teams that are winless at 0-3, and that's the Chicago Bears, as we talked about already, and then the New Orleans Saints, having just lost on Monday night. So two teams are 3-0, two teams are 0-3. That means 12 of the 16 teams in the conference are either 2-1 or 1-2 after 3 weeks. There's so much to get sorted out here. You really don't know where this is going to go.
No, and New Orleans also has an offense that can compete with anybody in the league.
Yeah.
So on any given Sunday, they certainly have a chance to come out on top. So yeah, it's going to be a big, it's going to be interesting to track this whole conference going into the mid part of the season, because even so much in the AFC now, I don't know. I mean, certainly New England's the team to beat, but now they're onto their third, fourth quarterback.
Yeah.
So it's so difficult to be able to jump out of the gate, get off to that fast start, and sustain it throughout the course of the season. Carolina did a pretty darn good job of it last year, but as we're seeing this season, it's not always easy to be able to get off to that fast start and maintain.
Yeah, definitely not easy. Well, with that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, turning our attentions back more specifically to the Packers here. If there's been a silver lining, you might say, to the injury issues that the Packers have dealt with in the early part of the season, we've seen a lot of young players get meaningful snaps in games, especially on the defensive side of the ball, when you're talking about Kentrell Bryce and Dean Lowry, and the list is pretty extensive. I think Mike McCarthy said as many as 9 rookie or first-year players on defense had as many as double-digit snaps in the game against Detroit. Now, obviously, fortunately, the Packers survived. They got the win over Detroit. You don't want to have to go through a whole season like this. But after the bye week, the Packers are going to have 13 consecutive games without another bye week. And more injuries are going to happen, and these young players are going to have to step in at times, and the fact that they're getting some experience now should pay off down the road.
Those were the comments of Julius Peppers, almost word for word, after the game, and saying that, yeah, it's important for them to play now and obviously help us win this game against Detroit, but at some point throughout the course of the season, they're going to need those young guys to play and perform. It just so happens that basically everybody on the 53-man roster has had a chance to play defense so far.
Yeah.
Maybe with the exception of Marwin Evans, I think everybody has at this point. So that's huge. And as we talk about all the time, it's important to have experience, and obviously people make a lot of that in the league, but it's also important to have an infusion of young talent. Look at our producer, Marvin, for this show. does a tremendous job straight out of college, and hungry. But at the same time, you look at Brian Price comes up from the practice squad, performs. Christian Ringo spent all of last year on the practice squad. Right. He's been called on in some important situations. Dean Lowry, the five-tech defensive end they drafted in the fourth round, everybody talked about, well, this would be a learning year. He's already had a couple tackles for loss. That's what you need. And as we foreshadowed a little bit earlier this week with Mike Daniels, it's about that mentality, it's about an attitude, and it's about understanding where you fit into this defense and that they're going to call upon you at times, and you need to be able to step up and play. That's the biggest takeaway I've seen from these guys so far, is that when called upon, even though they don't have the experience, they're finding ways to make a contribution.
Yeah, for sure. And there are going to be mistakes along the way. We saw the play with Josh Hawkins at cornerback along the sideline, ended up giving up the big touchdown right before halftime to the Lions. Now, you hope when a mistake happens, it doesn't end up resulting in a 70-yard touchdown. It unfortunately did there, but it happened when the Packers are ahead 31-3. So you swallow it and you move on. But Josh Hawkins, whoever makes a mistake like that out there, they're going to learn from it. They're going to get better. And the fact that they got all of that experience in a game the Packers won speaks well for what perhaps lies ahead.
Absolutely. And I'm going to throw another cornerback name at you, undrafted, Ladarius Gunter. Nobody talked about Ladarius Gunter much on Sunday. Was arguably their best performing cornerback in that ball game.
Yeah, Dom Capers said so. Yeah. Dom Capers said he thought he performed the best of the cover guys in the game against Detroit.
And this is a young undrafted rookie from a year ago that didn't make a big contribution, was called upon during the playoffs, stepped up against Washington, and now without Sam Shields has had to be one of their starting boundary cornerbacks. And done a pretty darn good job at it. Almost had an interception.
Yeah.
If he could have pulled that one down in the end zone late.
Probably kicking himself for that one because it hit him in the hands. I'm sure he'd like to have that one back.
Right. But at the same time, that comes with experience. That comes with being able to get snaps. Josh Hawkins is going to learn from it. Demaryius Randall is going to learn from these snaps.
Yep.
But the fact that they've been able to stem this tide, despite some of the injuries they have, despite some of the players that they haven't had for the first four games of the season, they're playing well. And they're playing well in spite of that. And I think that's going to bode well for them come November and December.
Yeah, I agree. Well, before we throw it to a break, we'll take care of a little bit of sponsor business here, Wes. At home or here in the stands, we all know that Green Bay fans give it their all. And that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious Chunky Chicken Broccoli Cheese. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, final segment, continuing our discussion of the young players on defense. We all wondered in the offseason who might become the new cult hero amongst Packers fans with the departure of John Kuhn in free agency. And seeing Blake Martinez with the busted, cut-up nose and blood running down his face behind his face mask there in the Lions game, I think we might have a winner.
I think we do. It was just so fun to watch that game. We didn't get to see it as much, so you know, during the game. We got to see the after effects of it. But going back and watching it and seeing the TV copy, it was almost like a comedy act where, okay, so it's bleeding. They have to do something about it. They stitch it. It starts bleeding again. He goes to the locker room. He comes back out, as Micah Hyde described it, looking like a mummy, where it's this strip in the middle of his face, two strips down here of basically just Band-Aids or whatever it was,
yeah,
trying to play through it. I know a lot of older Packer fans saying it was reminiscent of Chuck Cecil,
yeah,
a little bit, just in terms of the bleeding nose that will never stop.
The Ray Nitschke kind of look, yeah, exactly, there too, as a linebacker.
The toughness of a linebacker personified.
That's right.
Certainly, Blake Martinez wore it well.
Yeah, well, and it's just it all started so innocently. I believe it was during a preseason game. He happened to get hit a little awkwardly on the top of the helmet, and the top of his helmet kind of came down, and it scraped a chunk of skin off,
right,
the upper part of his nose, so it was bleeding and had to be stitched up, and then it just kind of keeps reopening and the blood continues, and they have to figure out a way to stop it so that he can continue to play. But I think he's probably maybe a little tired of talking about it already. Blake is a bit of a modest guy, though he was joking this past week about maybe he'll get the same type of recognition as J.J. Watt for all of those all those tough guy looks that Watt gets down in Houston.
No doubt. And I know Blake's a big Game of Thrones fan. It was kind of the Jon Snow, like, battle at the wall sort of scar that he had going on there, blood just running down. And certainly Fox was sure to pick up on that and use it for some of their intros and outros and the commercial breaks. But certainly now you have the bye week. Hopefully he can heal up and maybe be able to manage that a little bit more going forward. But I thought between him and Jake Ryan, they really provided a presence in that game. Ryan wearing the visor. If they're trying to find some like WWE type gimmicks, they're certainly getting them right now.
Yeah, they're going the whole nickname, the Jake and Blake thing, or Blake and Jake. I'm not sure which is supposed to go first, but the fans having a lot of fun with it so far, and we'll see if it continues.
Yeah, no doubt. And if nothing else, it makes for some fun banter in week three. So.
Yeah, definitely. All right, sounds good. Well, with that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. You can find the team account at Packers. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.